Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-620-4801 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-620-4801. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-620-4801. That's 1-800-620-4801.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis on this beautiful global warming inspired March day.
It's actually not beautiful out. It's not sunny out.
No, it's about 100 degrees out there already. Look, there goes a polar bear. Look, right out the studio window. Well, we've got a show full of wine today. Wine, 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 and more wine.
And a little bit of pastry.
That's fine, just to keep us from getting looped. Let's talk about who's on. Gregoire Pissot is here for Cave de Lugny Winery, and I should get points for all my pronunciations.
Absolutely.
Cave de Lugny is a co-op of 250 domains and more than 1,400 hectares of land, and we have no idea what that is here in America. That's acres. But we're in talking about white Burgundies, which is something unusual, and Gregoire's into
Well, it's
tell
unusual
us all about
to
it.
You. It's not unusual to most people who
Most
drink
people
wine.
Think of Burgundy as that rich red.
Some think? People do. Not
well,
all people
I do.
Do
because I'm
right,
a dork. All right.
No, you're not a wine dork. That's why, because you don't know about it.
All right.
But I think you're
going to
get the form on one
we're
today.
We're 2 minutes into the show. You're patronizing me already.
I'm not patronizing you. Okay. So also, the Capital Wine Festival is back at the Fairfax at Embassy Row, and its new restaurant, 2100 Prime. And to talk about that are Marco Esposito. Now, he is from Groth Vineyards. It's like a total wine show today. And also Stephen Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
They're both in.
Who's the hotel's director and GM.
Thank you. And I love this. There's a butcher, there's a baker, but there's no candlestick maker. Mwah, at Society Fair. In today is Todd Thrasher. He's going to be mixing up the wine cocktails that he's doing over at Society Fair. You know Todd from Restaurant Eve, Virtue Grain and Feed, PX, Amon's. Am I missing any? Majestic.
Coming soon, Bar T&T.
Oh, Bar T&T. That's right. Oh, my God. So many projects in the
Such
works.
An empire.
Right. Total empire.
That's not
He's
bad.
In to mix up cocktails, and he brought with him
Trey Massey.
Trey Massey, who is going to be doing demonstrations in studio. He is the chef over at Society Fair. So we have a jam-packed show.
Why don't we start with Todd, since he's right at the microphone? So how do you explain Society Fair to everybody? Because it's a little of a lot, and it's a lot of things.
And it's so pretty.
Right. We don't have a candlestick maker, but we do have a sandwich maker, so it kind
Perfect.
Of goes out.
Okay,
way.
I love it.
Okay, that was lame.
But that was
close.
But that was what the name was supposed to be originally, right?
It was supposed to just be the butcher and the baker.
Okay.
And kind of everyone else jumped on that name, so we switched it to Society Fair. So we do have dancing elephants there once a week.
Okay, good.
So it's good.
Love it.
Society Fair is kind of a lifestyle market. We have, like you said, we have a real butcher on premise. We have someone that makes bread, Nathan Hatfield, and Dan Fisher's a butcher. We have John Wayback, who is almost a master sommelier. He does our wine program there. So we have a butcher shop, bakery, sandwich area, kind of retail gourmet market, a pantry like at Restaurant Eve. So everything we use at Restaurant Eve, if you come there and have dinner and you say, where can I buy this? You can go to Society Fair to buy it. Wine retail, wine bar. We have Trey, who we do a demo kitchen. So,
well, can I get my oil changed there, too?
I can do that for the right price.
That's
yes.
cool.
I'm good
That's
at
great.
It. So.
Only with vegetable oil.
All right. We have
so
plenty of
what
that.
Was the moment of epiphany where you guys said, you know what Old Town needs? Everything under one roof.
You know, the moment of epiphany was about 5 years ago when Chef and I and Michelle were talking about it. And we said, this is what we want to do. And it just took so long to find the right location and everything. And it's been about 5 years in the making.
Well, tell people where it is. I mean, we'll do it again at the end of the show, but so people have a better understanding
where
it is.
277 South Washington Street.
Was that a trick question? I'm sorry.
five places. I forget the addresses right. at this point. So it's about two blocks off of King Street in the heart mm-hmm. of Old Town, right on the corner of Duke and Washington.
Nice.
And
yeah.
so what's the vision behind the wine cocktails? Because, I mean, that's not something you see on a lot of menus.
No. So a lot of times when people start to make cocktails, they use simple syrup. Well, they start with water. Water has no flavor. Wine has lots of flavor. So I use wine, you know, kind of like a starting point for a lot of things with a lot of different flavors added to it already. So I don't have to add all the flavor to it. So that was kind of the whole inspiration of doing the wine cocktails. And then just to do something different, you know, with five locations, you don't want to do the same cocktail program or the same food at every location, because why go to the other locations?
No, I agree with you. So yeah. tell us about what you're going to be making.
So I'm
going to
make
today.
Three for you today. I'm going to start with one and we'll work up. So the first one I'm going to make is called the 172 degree cocktail.
Okay.
And it's I take a Sailor Jerry spiced rum and liquor 43, vanilla and raw brown sugar. And
my
I
head
cook
is
it.
Starting to hurt already.
No,
go
no,
ahead.
It's good. And I cook it at 172 degrees for 24 hours. So 172 degrees.
It's only a 1 hour show.
Sorry. Well, I started it 23 hours ago.
Look, you got Kevin laughing.
I mean, God, Kevin, you'll laugh at anything stupid, won't you? Unbelievable. All right.
So
yes, Todd?
It's kind of a take on a champagne cocktail. So I take the liquor and cook it at 172 degrees for 24 hours, cook all the alcohol off, the ABV off, and so you just have basically a simple syrup made of with lots of different flavors. So I'm going to go ahead and make it. And then I use a Virginia sparkling wine from Claude Thibault Virginia Fizz.
We love Claude.
Yeah,
he's been in
too.
Studio. Great.
Well,
all
speaking
right.
of wine.
Yes.
Why don't we get Gregoire Pissot on the hooked up to the microphone here. Now, just again, Gregoire is with Cave de Lugny. It's a wine co-op.
You should say bonjour, bonjour.
Bonjour, bonjour mon ami.
Bonjour tout le monde.
Mon ami, mes amis is for multiple
You know what, it sounds like all I can say is où est la toilette. That's it. That's it.
L'addition, s'il vous plaît. That's what I know.
Yeah, she could say, give the addition to him, s'il vous plaît. All right, so... let's start from the start. Where was Cave de Lugny? I mean, why was it founded? It's 250 small wineries, I guess.
Yes, yes. Right.
How did all that happen?
Cave de Lugny is in Burgundy, mm-hmm. in the 300 miles in the southeast of Paris. And especially in this area, we're producing white wines with Chardonnay. Cave de Lugny was...
Chardonnay grapes?
Chardonnay grapes, okay. Yes, yes. Like the wines we are going to taste are 100% Chardonnay.
I love your accent. You must be French.
Yeah, thank you. You're right.
Wait, why don't you ask him again where he lives?
Why don't you be quiet? All right, yes.
Cave de Lugny was founded 80 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And this was why? Because small winemakers figured yes. that together they had
yes.
more
yeah.
marketing
they
power?
They need to have the same place for the winemaking.
So do you operate, I mean, I guess I'm trying to understand, because in Italy I'm familiar with enotecas, which will represent very small vineyards that need sort of the group effort to
yes.
to succeed. Is that essentially the function that you serve?
Yes, this is the same thing.
Okay, got it.
And yeah. so tell us a little bit about your winemaking process with the wines you brought in today.
For the winemaking, our goal is to have a very good level of maturity. To have the better grapes. If you want to make good wines, you have to have good grapes.
Okay.
And our goal is to produce white wines with purity, freshness, and very elegant wines.
Mm-hmm.
And we really decided to change our process 5 years ago to go in the way to protect the grapes, the juices, and the wines against the oxidation from the harvest to the bottling.
Okay. And why did you change? What was it about the change? How did that change the
Yes, it really changed the quality, the general quality, to have a better range for all our wines.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people here in the States, we hear Chardonnay, and we think California Chardonnay, because, you know,
I
that's
know
a
that.
not, no, I'm not dissing California. wines, but you know, that's, they're very big, they're very bold, they're very yellow, and they're very buttery. Yeah. So can you explain the difference between a French Chardonnay versus a California?
It's very different because first of all, the level of maturity is lower in Burgundy than in California.
Okay.
And after all, we never use oak in our Chardonnay, you know, for the winemaking. I never use oak.
We got to shake the cocktail.
Shake it up, baby.
And there we go. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I guess my question is,
you have a question?
Oh, my God. Are you married? Is everyone here married? Yeah. You go through the same crap I do? All right. No, here's my question, because I'm, and I think many people are familiar with the traditional red Burgundies. How long have the white Burgundies been made? Forever and ever, perhaps?
And forever and ever. But
why is the market, do you think they're less well known in the American market, at least?
First, you have to know that in Burgundy, we are producing 60% of white wines and 40% of red. And Chardonnay really increases its volume in the 70s, especially in the area of Mâcon, where I come from. Mm-hmm. Where you add two grape varieties for the red, Pinot Noir for the red Burgundy, and Gamay for the red Mâcon. And Gamay had not a good reputation during this period, so a lot of vine growers decided to change their grapes.
Okay.
And to plant Chardonnay.
Now tell us a little bit about the wines you brought. So what are we going to be tasting here today?
We're going to taste three wines.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
The two first wines are from the 2000 vintage, and the last one from the 09. Mm-hmm. The first we have is a Mâcon Village. That is to say, this is the first label of in the classification of our appellation.
Okay.
And for us, this is a blend of different areas in our vineyard. Like mm-hmm. you said it before, our vineyard is a big vineyard of more than 1,500 hectares. Mm-hmm. And the first one is a blend between different areas.
All right. Do you want to do that first?
Yeah, why don't we take a taste?
Why don't we take a taste of that now? Yes, we're being suddenly inundated with taste.
And so what are we looking for in this? Like when we swirl this, what are the kind of notes that we're looking for?
We're looking for a fresh wine, easy wine to drink, mm-hmm. on the fruit, and a very pleasant wine for everybody. Mm-hmm. This is the first level in our production.
Now, let me ask you. I see you have screw tops on two of the wines. I know France was not really pro screw top. So are you guys sort of on the forefront of doing this?
For the US market and the UK market too, we always use screw cap now.
Okay.
Yes.
But because it's acceptable here and it's not acceptable in France?
Yes, in France, yes. There is a big problem, I know.
Oh, you're French. But the world is running out of cork, isn't it? Isn't that one of the problems?
But for me, this is a very good system to close the bottle.
This is very nice. Nice.
Why do you think so?
With screw cap, you can keep all the qualities of your wines, all its freshness.
Mm-hmm. But do you think that... those who still love cork, is it just, you know, the love of wine and the process that goes with it? I mean, the cork doesn't add anything to the wine?
No, it adds anything to the wine. No,
okay.
No.
So it's just all for effect?
Yes.
Basically, right? Yes.
So way back when in the caves, the monks should have been using screw caps. What's the matter with these people and their corks?
This is delicious.
All right, you know what? Yeah. We need to take a break. We're getting
We have 2 minutes, right?
What do we have?
We have a minute and a half. He's like, you can go whenever you want.
All right,
well, let's try the next wine. Yeah. So tell us about the next one.
So the second wine is the second level of the classification in the appellation.
Okay.
That is to say, this is Mâcon Luni. Luni mm-hmm. is the name of a town where our cellar is, like you said it before. Mm-hmm. And this is the second level. Moreover, this one is a single vineyard. Mm-hmm. It's a single vineyard which calls Les Charmes. Mm-hmm. And it's a big single vineyard. It's 100 hectares.
Okay.
So what is a hectare? How many acres is a hectare?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know.
Todd?
I think that...
Do you remember that old...
2.4 acres.
2.4 acres.
You remember that old Bill Cosby bit when God told Moses to build the ark?
Noah. Yeah, not Moses. Moses had the plaques.
I think Moses did everything. Not Moses. All right, here we go.
Okay, and again, what are we looking for here?
Yeah, this wine is really the flagship of our production, mm-hmm. Especially in the U.S. market and in France, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Compared to the first one, you have more roundness, you have more powerful, mm-hmm. more sweetness, too, and the aromas are more complex, too.
Yeah, it's a lovely wine. Delicious. I mean, you could drink this.
This is
anywhere.
One of my favorite wines in our tradition.
Yeah. Todd would like some wine. He's like, right, I have my cocktail, but I want my
wine.
Because
I love to mix fuels in my tank. I'm going to take a sip of Todd's drink now, too, before we go to commercial.
Okay, quick. Because now we got to go to commercial.
Mmm.
Yum. It's gorgeous.
That's fuel injected. Holy cow.
Okay, David. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We are sipping lots of things. Stay tuned.
Max out your privacy settings on social networks. Restrict as much as you can what people can see of you. Close all your old accounts. Chances are it's got an email that you've reused. They could guess the maiden name of your mother or your first pet or something.
Yeah.
A lot of the celebrities whose email accounts were hacked, their challenge question was something that you could look up on the internet.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Hey, man. What's up? Angie went to Walmart and got this cool Pioneer HD radio receiver. And now she's like, eh, I don't know.
Simple stuff. Check out the buyer's guide at HDradio.com.
Cool buyer's guide. Oh, here's the Pioneer DEH-44, under $120 at Walmart. Angie, hip and smart.
See, dude, HDradio.com has the answers you need, and Walmart has the Pioneer with built-in HD radio technology you want. Now all you need to do is learn how to talk to girls.
Learn about HD radio technology at HDradio.com. More radio, more value.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Well, job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bienvenue, mes amis. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and Gregoire Pissot from Cave de Lugny Wines is in. And we're what's the last wine we're tasting?
Oh, right.
The last wine is Mâcon-Lugny 2, another single vineyard,
yes,
but a very small single vineyard, 10 hectares. And what is very interesting, because this is a very different terroir of all in the vineyard, because we have essentially in the traditional vineyard limestone soil. Mm-hmm. But here we have a chalky soil.
Yeah, I want to make sure that the few people, listeners who are listening, because they're meatballs like I am, know that terroir is dirt.
Dirt.
It's dirt, man. It sounds better in French, doesn't it? Terroir.
Terroir.
Dirt. All right. But this is yummy. This is nice and light.
Yeah.
I like this. All right. Quickly, because we only have a couple of seconds. Mm-hmm. Cave de Lugny wines are not found everywhere in Washington yet.
Yet.
But of course they will be.
Yeah.
But right now they're found where?
You can find our wines in the store of Calvert and Woodley.
Calvert, mm-hmm. Woodley,
yes,
one. Okay.
We had a nice tasting yesterday.
You didn't invite me.
Yeah.
Mon ami.
But I do want to just say, so the last bottle did have a cork in it. And is that true in the States too?
Yes, because it's a new production. And we started with a cork at the beginning for the French market.
Okay.
And we only have one production, so it's...
They were probably back in the factory, and someone said, put a cork in it. Thank you. And unfortunately...
And on that note, you are cut off.
We got to put a cork in this one. Gregoire, thanks very much for joining us. Why don't you stay around? We're going to bring in...
we're going to have broth in a little bit.
Stephen Johnston, and are we bringing in these guys now?
No,
we're going back to Todd Thrasher.
We're going to go back to Todd, and then we're bringing in Trey.
All right. So, Todd?
All right. So, the next one I did, there's like this whole... You know, with the whole bartending and, you know, quote-unquote mixology thing going on, there's this whole movement of neat cocktails and room-temperature cocktails. So this is one of those because, you know, I'm very trendy. I have to stay
right,
on top
you are,
of it.
I can tell just
by
looking at you.
Wait, I have to ask a question. Yeah, right. What do you mean room-temperature cocktails?
So no ice, no dilution, no chill, just room temperature.
Why?
Because it makes the spirit pop out a little bit more. You taste more of the spirit. You taste everything that's going on with the spirit. Whereas a lot of times when you add dilution, you're diluting the spirit down, so you're not tasting the spirit as the spirit's intended to be.
Well, is this sort of in response to, like, you know, hand-cut ice? And, you know, that was very... I mean, a lot of places are still doing it, but
yeah,
is that...
I never got on that trend. I'm sorry.
Of course not.
Sorry. I'm trendy, but not that trendy.
You're messing up my show,
but you
man.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Is this in response to that?
No, I don't think so. I think it's in response to a lot of the artisanal producers of especially, you know, whiskeys. Especially mm-hmm. because, you know, whiskey is supposed to be whiskey and scotch is supposed to be consumed neat without anything or maybe just a drop of water. So I think that's what it is in response to is all of these new artisanal producers of spirits around the United States. They want to taste their spirit as a spirit. But, you know, bartenders, if you just taste a spirit as a spirit, that's just, you know, throwing whiskey in a glass. So this is kind of and for the artisanal spirits that's being produced. So this one is called Whiskey and Wine.
Okay.
Whiskey and wine, you would never think to go together. But
no.
What I did, I took sauterne mm-hmm. and oranges, all winter spices, so star anise, nutmeg, clove, cinnamon, and just let that cook at a very, very low temperature with the immersion circulator again. Mm-hmm. So I controlled the temperature so I didn't lose any alcohol in this.
You're like a
this,
mad scientist right, exactly. with that circulator.
A little bit of honey, a little bit of orange blossom. So that's in the base. Mm-hmm. And then I'm using two whiskeys, one from Canada. 40 Creek is
my
a rye-based
whiskey. My head is starting
whiskey.
To spin again already.
And then,
I haven't even had a sip.
Four Roses bourbon from Kentucky, of course.
Okay.
And it's a room temperature cocktail.
I think this is a better aphrodisiac than oysters, don't you?
So we're just going to pour and go.
Okay, terrific.
A little bit of orange bitters, and that's it. So.
Excellent.
Okay.
All right, well, let's bring on Trey while Todd is pouring. Trey, why don't you come on up to the mic? So how did you get involved with this group?
Well, let's say again, Trey Massey is the demo chef at Society Fair. I just want to make sure you get your propers here.
Oh, thank you.
You're more than the demo chef, though, right? I mean...
I wear as many hats as they let me.
Okay. All right. You're more than that.
You're snatching hats left and right. So yeah, tell us how you got that. Involved with the group, with Restaurant Eve.
I worked at Restaurant Eve for a number of years. Mm-hmm. My two best friends in the world are Nathan Hatfield and Dan Fisher, the butcher and the baker.
I was going to say...
So I guess if there was a candlestick maker, I would be.
You'd be it.
Maker.
I love it.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about. I mean, this process at Society Fair is that you can sit down and eat, you can grab and go, but there's also this demo option. There, can you explain it?
You can have food in many ways at Society Fair. We have a traditional larder style market where you can pick up things from the retail case, grab and go, made mm-hmm. fresh every day. Salads, soups. You can pick up demi-glace if you want. We make sauce bordelaise in
small
quantities. You
can get Todd's martini mix.
Exactly. Martini mix, simple syrup, Cosmo mix, whatever you need. Mm-hmm. We have it available.
Tomato water coming in June.
Ooh.
Tomato water coming in June, as
I
he says.
I love that.
And also we have a full sandwich menu that's offered. Mm-hmm. We serve breakfast from 7 until 11. You know, the traditional buttermilk biscuits and scrambled eggs and made to order, delicious. Mm-hmm. And then we have the wine bar with a charcuterie cheese menu. We offer a few daily additions. And then the demonstration kitchen is a 10-seat bar, 3-course meal, Tuesday through Saturday.
Well, and I think you should explain. I mean, you haven't been there. I've already been in. It's so pretty.
Yeah, rub that in. Okay. Todd, don't invite me or anything.
Right. I haven't eaten there. I went in because I wanted to see what it looked like. Do your own recon. So explain how it's set up for those who haven't been in. I mean, aside from the market. Thanks, Jenny. Aside from the market, your demo area. I mean,
demonstration kitchen, we have what is the ideal home kitchen. We have a beautiful La Cournot stove in the middle, and we have a 10-seat white marble bar that kind of wraps around the stove. And you get to, you witness, you know, the meal start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
We talk, you know, it's an ongoing conversation. We have question and answer during the middle of it.
You do it every night? Tuesday through Saturday.
And we have it broken down into themes.
And how does it work, though? I mean, can I get a reservation at 5:30? How many times do you do it a night?
Right now we're doing one seating.
Okay.
In 2 weeks, we're going to do two seatings on Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, during the week, the seating is at 7:30.
Can you walk in or you got to have a reservation?
No, it's a reservation. It's an email for a reservation. We've been very fortunate that we've had such a great response, so mm-hmm. there's a little bit of a lag time of trying to get a seat every now and then.
You mean I can't just call and be like, hey, it's Nikki Nellis? No, I'm kidding.
Of course you can.
Of course I can.
Wait a minute. Everybody, everybody run from the room. I think your ego is going to fill... the studio. Well, let me ask a question about just
we would add seats for you.
The society affairs, the whole sort of the paradigm, because one of the coolest places we've ever been is the Covered Market in Florence, which has stalls and has all, and there's not a lot of that here in the U.S., that feeling. And yet...
Italy in New York.
Well, Italy, we actually got married in the toy building before it was Italy, and now they've broken it up into this incredible food fair under one roof. Is that a coming thing? Is that...
Well, I think that as we start to really appreciate the love that we have for food and bring it into our life every day, especially in this country now, you know, everybody cooks at home, and it's not a simple meal anymore. I mean, they choose specifically what they're going to cook. Young couples are spending two to three hours a week in the grocery store trying new dishes, and all the TV shows, and
they should be home kissing
celebrity bartenders and chefs everywhere.
Aww. I wish that was on film.
You know what I think what this is too, everyone 15 years ago cooking was a blue collar job. No one wanted their kid to grow up and be a chef 15 years ago because it's a blue-collar job. You're 15 hours a day on your feet, 110 degrees in the kitchen. But now with the evolution of the TV Food Network and things, kids want to be chefs. Kids come in the restaurant Eve. We have 9-year-old coming in the restaurant Eve to do 9 courses with foie gras. I mean, it's nuts. And then, you know,
but that kid should be taken out in.
No,
it's not just that
kid should be hosed down.
Stop it. Educating your kid's palate is really important. Yeah. And learning how to dine in a restaurant at a young age is really important.
I'm sorry. No little 9-year-old snot needs an 11-course meal.
And
I'm sorry.
Really watching Trey and how he does it, it's literally like watching the TV Food Network every night. And it's. I mean, he's a good-looking guy, too, so
he's
that helps
cute.
Out. He's cute, right?
Trey,
right.
I love you, Trey.
Trey. Okay.
Thank you. I
so,
appreciate
all right, Trey, on that perfect segue from
so
your
today,
boss, tell us what you're going to make.
We're trying to pretend, even though the weather's not playing with us, that we are actually, this is springtime, that we are moving into a new season.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, we've been doing a lot of pickling. So we've made a pickled carrot and farro salad with a little bit of preserved lemon. And my favorite pairing with that is we're going to have a little lamb tartare.
Ooh. So, I love farro. I told you this off air. I mean, I make farro once or twice a week. It's such a hearty, yummy
It's delicious.
Grain.
It has so many, it's so versatile. It has so many uses. You know, we can use it in a soup. We can make a salad. Mm-hmm. You can make farro risotto. There's so many options to really manipulate
I'm always tempted to say, people go.
I know you are.
Thank
but
you.
Get over it. So lamb tartare. When you do these demos, are people supposed to walk away with recipes and be able to make this stuff at home, or is it really just entertainment while they're eating?
Right now, we're focusing on teaching tips, like quick tips, things you can take away that'll improve your cooking at home.
Mm-hmm.
We discuss, you know, we give some recipes for certain things, and then some are for the house for future books publication.
So tell me about lamb tartare, because I don't think a lot of people think about it.
One of the beauties of having Society Fair and having an in-house butcher is we pretty much only buy whole animals.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a whole
not
animal...
Not live ones, though. Right?
No, they are not live.
You let
not
someone
yet,
else
not
do
yet.
Your dirty
That's...
work, don't you, Trey? Yeah, okay.
We are a circus, so you never know what's going to happen. Every now and then I pull a rabbit out of the hat and flip the egg and then make the onion volcano.
Love it.
It's Benihana sometimes. So one of the beauties of having a butcher is you have all these different cuts that are available.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to take the tougher cuts, some of the braising cuts that have the most flavor because it's the muscles that are used the most.
Mm-hmm.
And we can grind them to order. We do all of our ground meat to order. So in the demonstration kitchen, we talk about grinding meat, what you would do if you had an attachment for your KitchenAid.
Right.
Or if you were lucky enough to have an in-home grinder.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an in-home grinder, I would like to borrow it sometime.
Right.
I want to know those people. So we grind the tough cuts, and then we try to season it with something that is really going to enhance the flavor. Today we're going to use house-made harissa.
Oh, I love that.
Harissa is a spicy pepper paste that we make with roasted Fresno chilies, a little bit of caraway, a little bit of cumin, some garlic, and lemon juice and olive oil. So what I'm going to do is I've ground the meat because we didn't want to haul our grinder. So I
you didn't want to bring in the whole animal either? I'm really disappointed.
Next time.
I want blood in the studio.
My wife, the tough guy, who wouldn't eat tongue because, ew, it's tongue.
Tongue's delicious.
Yeah, I know.
Tongue grosses
me
out.
Sliced thin with some pickles, a nice salad.
I'll eat it, but there's something about the thought process of tongue. I just can't.
We get that reaction in the demo kitchen every now and then. I mean, we do a lot of butchery. If we're, you know, if we're serving fish, we butcher the whole fish.
Mm-hmm.
We're serving chicken, we do the whole chicken, head and feet.
All right, wait.
Did you know chickens have head and feet?
Yes, I know they have head and feet.
Todd, excuse me, I'm the comedian here. Okay. You just back off,
you
man.
Can't, don't give that guy a mic. That's all right, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue with our demo because there's more to be made, and then we're going to sip some more wine. We've got Groth Vineyards in. This Yay. Is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Walk MS. Every step matters, every dollar counts, and every person makes a difference. Hi, this is Sinead Simpson from ABC7. Please join me in the movement to end MS forever at Walk MS this April. Support the National Multiple Sclerosis Society and walk to create a world free of MS. Register for one of six sites around the D.C. area at msnu.org. That's msandyou.org.
Presented by Booz Allen Hamilton.
In the beloved fairy tale, Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly one in three children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we've got
Trey mixing it up.
What is this? What are we listening to? Bruce Springsteen?
All
right, whatever. Trey Massey's over there mixing up his poor lamb, and yum, looks good. Todd, you want to, Trey, is there more to talk about with this dish? You're just going to dish it out.
Well, what we've done, just to finish it off, we've got finely chopped preserved lemon, a little bit of chive.
Well, and I just want to interrupt. You guys make your own preserved lemon, and you sell it there?
We do. We do. It takes about 60 days.
To preserve lemons? Does it really?
Mm-hmm. So we quarter them, and we cure them with bay leaves, salt, sugar, a little bit of black peppercorn.
Mm-hmm.
Pack them very tightly, weight them down, and wait, and just hurry up and wait 60 days, and then we clean them. We sell them packed in olive oil.
Okay.
It's the best way to store them.
And so everything that you're using today, most of it is
harissa,
at the market?
The white sauce, which is a Lebanese Greek-style condiment. It's basically a garlic, a lemon-garlic sauce.
Mm-hmm. Like lavash. Tzatziki? Is it like tzatziki-ish?
Not so much. It's a little bit lighter, and it's made with egg whites. So it's, like I said, much lighter on the palate. Mm-hmm. Egg whites, grapeseed oil. The high
so
amount of
pretty.
Lemon juice, kind of bright, makes it quite bright.
Okay.
It just kind of brings out the flavor of the harissa.
So is this something you do as part of your demo? Like is
the
this...
lamb tartare has made an appearance before.
Okay.
And then what we traditionally do is we'll make the heart of the dish,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll talk about what to serve it with. Sometimes we'll make the tartare and the white sauce. It depends on how much time we have.
Okay. And so it's a three-course meal when you do this demo?
It is.
So it's like an hors d'oeuvre kind of thing?
No, it's a traditional, like it's a first course. So the lamb tartare would be the first course.
Mm-hmm.
We always start with a little present, a little gift. Usually we make beautiful house-marinated olives.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start with olives or we'll start with some pickled vegetables. And then we have a first course of lamb tartare. The second course for a dish like this would probably be pan-roasted fish, mm-hmm. and then we'll make like lemon tart or chocolate caramel squares.
You know why they have these foamy things on the microphones? It's to soak up the drool.
So can I ask you a question? This is totally off script, but I'm just sort of curious. Like, how much fun is it for you as a chef to sort of be part of this process? I mean, being at a place that is so committed to making everything on their own and educating the public, it must be really satisfying.
So I've been cooking for 10 years professionally. Okay. And this is by far the best.
Did you start cooking professionally when you were 5?
That's nice and condescending too. Well, at least you know what I go through at home.
I mean, you're so young. Yeah. Okay.
This is the best job I've ever had. It's mm-hmm. so it's so easy to go to work. It's just kind of like a playground all day long. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to work with.
With Thrasher.
With me. It's not that fun.
It is.
Okay, and you've got one more dish. Or are we done?
We're gonna serve this dish, and we're serving it with our farro salad, and that's it.
Okay, nice. Great. All right. Well, tell everybody. I mean, Thrash, I'll do it again. But tell everybody where they can find you, and how to make reservations, and how they can get in on these demos.
For the demonstration kitchen, you can email us at demokitchen@societyfair.net. Mm-hmm. The demos are Tuesday through Saturday. You can find us at 277 South Washington in Old Town between Prince and Duke.
Okay, great. All right, what'd you make here?
We're going to move to City Eats in the near future also. Completely.
Oh, you are? You're going off Open Table?
We're going off Open Table.
A lot of people are doing that.
Yeah.
When will you be doing that?
We've been on City Eats at Restaurant Eve for about 3 months now. We're just trying to work the kinks out for everything. So what we're going to do at Society Fair is move to all City Eats, buy your it's going to be like selling tickets, buy your seat before you come, and then kind of like Guilt City does it.
Right. Well, yeah. I think that makes – I mean, this is – it's such a small – you only seat how many people?
10.
I mean, that
and
makes
if
sense.
If you want to do a private – like if you want to buy the whole kitchen out, we have 2 seats behind the bar right next to Chef. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to do 12, we can do 12 and then the hosts sit back there.
Do radio people ever come?
Not yet.
Sweetheart?
But wait, but you have a whole dining room too. So
yeah, we have 50 seats in the
dining
room.
So can you – what are those people eating?
They're cheese, charcuterie, sandwiches, pickles.
Can they eat the demo menu even if they're not –
That's participating? Our goal in the future. We're going to find the perfect way to offer a few additional dinners. Right now, we're just focusing on our 10 guests.
Okay, that makes sense. What are we drinking?
So this is called
soda.
It's called the White Port Dode. Mm-hmm. Dode is kind of a universal term that Chef and I use all the time. Anything.
Wait a minute. Did you notice she sucked the bottom out of mine, and then she said, "Oh, I'm drinking the wrong one."
Sorry, I have two.
Thanks a lot.
So it's
Thank you. Oh, that's gorgeous.
As far as fortified wine in Portugal, they would drink white port,
right,
and tonic water all the time. It's kind of a very light, summery thing.
Like a spritzer.
It's a spritzer because we all love spritzers.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No.
A spritzer.
So it's this one I'm using Ware's white port. Then I'm using a little Pedro Jimenez sherry just to sweeten it up a little bit from Jerez La Frontera in Spain, and then Fentimans tonic water. Which is, you can also buy this at Society Fair. It's kind of the cleanest tonic water, very nice.
Better than
light.
Q. Is Q?
I like it much better than Q and much better than Fever Tree.
Mm-hmm. Those are the big buzz ones right now.
Those are the big buzz ones, yeah. This is made in England. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. And it's just, so it's tonic water, white port, Pedro Jimenez sherry, and a little squeeze of orange.
That's it.
So anyone can make this one at home.
We should do a tonic chasting. In studio, because there's such a difference between them. I don't think people really realize.
Well, there's a ton of difference between them. And it is.
I know you're
kinds.
Ready to kick. David's ready to kick me because we got to move on.
Because we got to move on.
You can buy my tonic water at Society Fair also if you like.
All right, I will. Thanks for the unsolicited testimonial. Speaking of wine,
yes,
the Capital Wine Festival's back at the Fairfax at Embassy Row, and it's become.
It's an annual thing.
Yeah, but it's become a big, big event. Mm-hmm. And we've got Stephen Johnston, who is director and GM at the hotel. And,
You said good morning.
Indeed, good morning.
Good morning. Was that a good morning?
Yeah.
Marco good morning. Esposito, who is with Groth Vineyards, and I have to say, we were there. It's a vague, hazy memory back when we were there.
Quite a few years ago.
I know, he was talking about all the changes with me off air. He's telling me about all the things, and I was like, you could put it right in front of my face. Chances are I would not be able to tell you what that place looked like.
We'll have to have you back.
We were, and I'm not proud of this, but we were pretty stunkered when we were there, I have to say.
We got engaged. when we were out there.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Yes. Did. It was the happiest day of her life.
And that was it. And then it ended.
All right. So, let's talk about, Stephen, why don't we talk about this event's going to be at 2100 Prime, which is your new restaurant.
It is. It's going on. It's
over halfway through it, actually. Yeah, 2100 Prime is at the Fairfax at Embassy Row, and this is the third year of the Capital Wine Festival. Mm-hmm. The whole thing started, actually, up in Boston, where I've spent the last 8 years at the Boston Harbor Hotel.
You have a real Boston accent.
I was going to say, you have a real Boston accent. You do.
It's because it was St. Patrick's Day yesterday. I put on an Irish accent.
Still hungover.
Yeah, I know. Boston Harbor Hotel chef Daniel Bruce, who works closely with us, that's one of the hotels that our hotel is part of that chain. He started this 23 years ago with the Boston Wine Festival, mm-hmm. and it's just grown from strength to strength. And it's just the most wonderful thing in the depths of winter up in Boston when there's nothing else going on and people really don't want to leave their houses. They leave their houses in droves to come to the Boston Wine Festival. So we and two of our other hotels in the group, one in California, one in New Orleans, picked up on this a few years ago. And this is our third year of what we're calling the Capital Wine Festival. And actually, for the past 2 years, we ran it in the ballroom of the hotel. But this year, we decided, because we had changed the restaurant, we've introduced 2100 Prime into the building, we decided that it's the natural home of the Capital Wine Festival really belonged in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. So we started out with a big gala event back in January, and followed then on 10 consecutive Wednesdays by 10 wine dinners. And we invite the winemakers, really, or the owners of the vineyards, to come and to speak at the dinners. And it's a wonderful evening. Very carefully crafted menus that very much speak to the wines. What Daniel Bruce does, he has great relationships with these winemakers because he's been dealing with them for 23 years. He asks them what wines they'd like to bring to each of the dinners. And then once he's tasted the wines and he knows what he's working with, he will craft the four-course menu around those. And it is absolutely
fun.
Well, we did it. We were there the first year. We went the first year when it was in the ballroom, when Levi Mesnick was there.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I wish I could remember the wine, but it was a really lovely evening.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. Good. It was sort of pink. It was a rosé, wasn't it? I don't know. Who knows?
Anyway. Mm. But now we have Marco in with us from
Now, the relationship between the hotel and 2100 Groth. Prime and Groth is what exactly?
It's a developing relationship. Ah, isn't it, Marco?
This is a date.
It's all about wine.
It's all about a date.
Wine and food. Any way we can make it happen.
Right.
Well, you know what? Let's, for some people out there who don't know the vineyard, give us the 411 on Groth.
Well, I always like to start off with a bit of the information about Dennis Groth himself.
Okay.
Dennis Groth, many people don't know because the name of the winery is so prolific among winos, as it were. Mm-hmm. But Dennis Groth was the CFO of Atari Video Games.
Was he?
Really?
Yeah, I had Pong, baby.
Yeah. Most people can relate to that. Really? It's sort of a little bit of an anchor that I use when I present the wines. And, you know, it takes a small fortune to lose a large fortune in the wine business. And that's getting close to 30 years ago where they
had... Oh, my
had,
God. Pong and Duck Hunt, remember?
That's 35.
Oh,
and maybe almost closer to 40. I had it myself. So 127 acres on Oakville Cross Road, 121 under Vine. And then they have a small estate out on, they call it the Hillview Estate, which is actually an oak knoll that has some 40-some-odd acres planted under Chardonnay and Merlot. We're getting into our 30th year, 1982 being the first vintage. Our reserve, 1985, was given the first perfect score to a California Cabernet by Robert Parker. They gave it the 100-point score, and that really catapulted us into stardom. Ever since, more or less.
But now you were telling me earlier that you had to replant all the vines. Is that correct?
Yes. In 1999, the family began a replanting process because our wines come from a specific place, which is that 121 acres. We replanted our vineyards. Due to some leaf roll and phylloxera, which was sort of going on in Napa at the time.
So is that a blight? Is that what that is? Is it like the same thing ish?
You know, it happened more or less in the major wine producing regions of the world, mm-hmm. and Napa's no stranger to that. It's also vineyard maintenance. The vines can only produce effectively for so long, and what you do, viticulturalist does in the vineyards in the time that they are in their prime and getting to their prime affects the longevity of the vine.
Mm-hmm. Did you not have vintages? I mean, did you not have product?
That's a total upheaval, isn't it?
That requires a commitment. And we're going to talk a little bit about our reserve Cabernet, which was offline from 99 until 2005.
Wow.
We did not produce it. Roughly $1 million in revenue, which was committed to keeping this wine coming from exactly the 28 acres, or I believe it's 12 hectares, since we're using hectares today, that we sourced that fruit from.
All right, we have to take a quick break.
Absolutely.
When we come back, you're going to start pouring some wine.
I can do
that.
We'll
get the taste, all the work that went into it. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
New York's legendary family-style Italian restaurant is also here in D.C., serving up huge platters of real good, no-kidding Italian food in 9 private dining rooms. It's like a trip to a big Italian family dinner, with extra-large portions of antipasti, pasta, seafood, and meat entrees served up on huge sharing platters, and all reasonably priced. Carmine's is just the way it used to be at Grandma's house, if your grandma was a real no-kidding Italian. Carmine's on 7th Street near the Verizon Center. Anywhere else is forget about it. Call them at 202-737-7770.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Interested in boomboxes?
Yeah, I just got the iPhone 4S, and I want a docking system for when I'm at home.
Easy answer. The Insignia boombox with HD radio technology receives all the HD2, HD3 channels here in town and has iTunes tagging for your iPhone 4S.
Oh yeah, iTunes tagging is cool. Tag and buy songs you hear on HD radio stations.
Yep, and it's only $99.
Wow, $99 and works with iPhone 4S? Lead the way.
Learn about HD radio technology at HDradio.com. More radio, more value.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does 3 decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit capitalareafoodbank.org.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking Capital Wine Festival. But wait, Lexi, what
Lexi
is that?
Lexi, come in with cake. What is it, Lexi?
We just got this cake from Tyson's Galleria for the Let Them Eat Cake competition that's going on next weekend.
Oh, that's right. You know what? I know about that.
All right, so tell them
about it. They sent me information on it. It's so nice of them. Look at that gorgeous cake they sent. Beverly Bates, the pastry chef at Vidalia, made this gorgeous cake. We're going to tweet out a picture. Next week, you can see this. All these cakes, all these women who are part of Les Dames d'Escoffier are doing this event.
It's all over the Galleria, right?
It's all over the Galleria. Yeah, on the 24th and 25th. And you can check out all these gorgeous wedding cakes because it's in your script.
I knew that.
And you can check out what they're all doing. So absolutely go and check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Back to Stephen and Marco on the Capital Wine Connection. So first of all, Groth wines are available where in the D.C. area?
At retail, you can surely find them at Ace Beverage. They're very consistent with us, vintage in and vintage out, and very, very much so at most retailers, most of the better wine retailers, and actually Whole Foods.
Okay. Now, nice. All right, well, can you tell us about what you poured?
Yes. The smaller glass is our estate Cabernet, and the larger glass is the reserve. So you want to taste the smaller one first.
Okay, and tell us what we're looking for. What are the difference between the two? What are we looking for?
Well, you know, in gustibus non disputus, I say that all the time. You're looking for exactly what you find.
Mm-hmm.
We do all hand sorting of the fruit by mm-hmm. cluster for the mm-hmm. estate. The difference would be for the reserve that we actually berry sort. What goes into the reserve.
Mm-hmm.
The estate gets somewhere between half and two-thirds new French oak, depending on the vintage.
Mm-hmm.
This one is two-thirds new French oak. And we have 20% Merlot in the estate. And then the reserve is down to 7% Merlot. And it's all new French oak.
Okay.
So when you compare them, actually this lamb tartare is probably a slam dunk. I was a little concerned with all the cocktails that were leading up if I was going to be able to stand up to all that. But no, now that you're into
you've
this
stood
lamb,
up well, my
it's
son.
Doing very
no,
well.
No, they fit
yeah,
really nicely.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let me take it back.
Wait. We have to just
That's
try the second
right,
one.
Why
Hold
I'm
on.
In such a hurry here?
We're okay. Oh, we're not okay.
I've already we're
okay,
not.
Sorry. All right, so just quickly tell us about the second one just a little bit.
Well, the second one, as I started to allude to earlier, comes from our reserve vineyard, which is that 12 hectares.
Mm.
All the Cabernet comes from there. This is very special to us. It's a one and only place. We do not make reserve unless it comes from this sliver of land.
Okay.
And it is the same spot that was given the first 100-point score. Why is it special? There is a loam to the soil and a layer of stone, a strata of stone underneath that creates very nice drainage for the mm-hmm. vineyards. And this allows for the fruit to be the first to ripen on our vineyard. And that's what makes it special. We have the gift of opportunity to pick when it is exactly right for us to pick.
You mean there's a science to it?
It's called enology. And
I got it. I just thought it was voodoo.
And this is great with
well,
a cheeseburger,
no, that's biodynamic.
By the way. I know you like cheeseburgers.
I like it.
No, it's really lovely.
Hey, listen. God bless him. All right, guys, we only have a couple of seconds. Stephen, let's lay it out on Capital Wine. What am I saying?
Yeah, Capital Wine Festival.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Prime.
We're kind of late in the season at the moment in that it's 10 weeks of it, and we just have two dinners left, actually. We've Martinelli coming in. This coming Wednesday and Cliff Le Day the Wednesday after. Unfortunately, Martinelli is sold out, so mm-hmm. we just have a few tickets left for Cliff Le Day. But, you know, we've seen some great winemakers through these past 10 weeks. We've had Height Cellars, Argyle, Cone, Cake Bread. So we've been in California and Oregon this year, and we're already starting to put plans together for our 2013 Capital Wine Festival. And, you know,
is it only American wines, or are you going?
Do you know, at the moment it is American wines. Although
right.
I could see us going beyond the borders of the United States at some time in
like
the future.
Like with a French winemaker, perhaps.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we're going to have to talk.
Whose name is Grégoire Pisson?
I'd love it to
be
here.
Before we go to France, we've definitely got to get Groth on the list. And Marco
like
and I will
much.
Talk. We'll talk afterwards. Over
this is like when you go to a restaurant and you go, you think they're married or are they dating?
Right.
They're
is this
dating.
A first date? It might just be a first
date. I know
date.
I'll be in town for a wine dinner next year already. I'm committed
right.
to that.
Very
Excellent.
Good.
That's good. Awesome. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. I do have a little bit of news that I want to get out there. We did in January our first live remote at Carmine's, the
mm-hmm.
legendary Italian restaurant. Down on 7th Street. And it's
and it
kinda,
was a show. It was a party.
Yeah, you can attend. There's lots of food. It's a bash. And we're going back to Carmine's on April 22nd. And mm-hmm. we're going to have more surprises for you guys, including the debut of a new bagel.
Yeah.
That's a little secret. I know. Then you say Carmine's bagel.
Well, actually,
but, oh, yes.
we already have Greg Enger from Neighborhood Restaurant Group is coming in. He's going to be pouring beer the entire show, not just for us, but for everybody who comes to check mm-hmm. it out. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
And we'll have Terry Natus from Carmine's in there
of
and
course.
Jeff Bank, the CEO. It's going to be fun. And on April 29th, and we've just signed on to do this, we're going to be at the Carpenter's Cook-Off at the Birchmere. That is an annual fundraiser for Carpenter's Shelter, which is the largest shelter for the homeless, feeding homeless families.
The Majestic's going to be there.
Yeah,
right, the Majestic's going to be there. Right,
and,
maybe we'll talk with Shannon.
All proceeds from the event are going to go to Carpenter Shelter, and we're going to be there with lots of food and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to carpenterscookoff.com, you can get information. $50 gets you not only into the remote and what we're doing there, and that starts at 11, but it also gets you into the event, which is a big tasting event with, 35 restaurants?
Mm-hmm. All Arlington restaurants, yeah. Arlington, Alexandria restaurants.
And that goes from 12 to 3. So we'll be there on the 29th, and you'll hear more about it in the next coming weeks, but I hope you'll join us there.
All right.
So?
Todd, tell us a little bit more about this drink.
Toddy, tell us.
Tell us about our drink.
Sorry. So, Fentimans Tonic Water.